My New Year's resolution was not to talk about New Year's resolutions, so that already, apparently, did not work out.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. Yeah, it's a new opening. I figured, you know, it's the start of a new year, I'll do a new opening, which I believe now is too short. The older one lasted what seemed like 20 minutes. That was too long. So I have yet to find the perfect meeting point for a timely opening. I'll find it eventually. Don't worry yourself with it. I'll take care of that. You go off and have your life, deal with your job and your family and where you live and putting food in your mouth, and I will take care of the opening of the show, okay? I don't want to burden you with that. I will take care. I have nothing else to do, so I will take care of that part of it. You're welcome. You're welcome. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I've been doing this for about 25 years now, which is a long time for anything. Jumping around from radio station to radio station. Radio stations don't last very long ownership-wise, so you jump from one to the other for various reasons. The last one I was with was for about 12 years, and then they went out of business. They went off the air completely. So I decided to get into the national podcasting business, which has been actually more successful than the other thing was. So that's a short version of what's been happening with me. Now you. Go on, tell me about yourself. I can hear you. Yeah, you know, these speakers are two ways. It's a two-way street. This was developed years ago. They never told you about it. But when they started producing computers and cell phones and laptops and all those things, there's a two-way thing involved. I can't see you necessarily if you don't turn your camera on, but I can hear everything that you're saying all the time. As a matter of fact, when you took that shower last night, that was quite revealing to me about your personal habits, shall we say. Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what technology can do. You have no concept. You know that Roomba vacuum cleaner that supposedly is 24/7, you know, cleaning your floor? It's not a vacuum cleaner at all. It's a little spy robot. It's taking pictures of your floor and your crevices. And it's listening to everything you say. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? Yeah, yeah. You know refrigerators, they're supposed to keep food cold. It's not all they do. There's a little micro device inside the door. And whenever you're in the kitchen, it's logging exactly what you're doing, how many times you open the door, what you say when you open the door, like, this doesn't look good for me. Yeah, yeah, it records everything. You have no idea. It's about time you woke up and smell the coffee. I don't know what that phrase means, by the way. I wake up and smell the roses, smell the coffee. I don't know. You wake up and you smell something. I have no idea what it is. I don't know. I want a smart bathroom. They have smartphones and smart devices and smart lights and smart security systems. I want a smart bathroom, where all I have to do is walk in and the bathroom automatically takes care of me. It puts me on a toilet seat. It flushes when I stand up. They already have that. It wipes my ass for me. That's yet to be developed. And then I want a mirror that only makes me look fantastic. I don't want to see myself anymore. When I was a teenager, I didn't mind because I thought, well, whatever is here will probably develop into something better eventually. But then when I got older, I don't want to look in the mirror anymore. I put a curtain over that thing. There's no reason that I should. I don't care anymore. I really don't. You know who doesn't care about their appearance? People at Walmart. Have you noticed that? They don't care. They don't give a crap at all. First of all, they're resigned to going to Walmart. That's the first thing. And secondly, they don't bother dressing up. They don't care what you think they look like. They will go shopping in their pajama pants. Uh-huh. Try it. As a matter of fact, if you walk into a Walmart and you're not dressed in your pajama pants with your hair sticking out of your head in all different directions, you better go home and change down. If a person dares walk into a Walmart, can you imagine walking into a Walmart wearing a three-piece suit? Look at that guy. What's he doing here?
He must be the owner.
Or a woman wearing a very expensive dress and high heels and jewelry in a Walmart? Are you serious? Get out. You don't belong here. Go buy some pajama pants and put them on, man. Otherwise, get out of this store. You'll look so out of place. It'll be ridiculous. Might as well shine a spotlight on you. Those people don't care at all anymore. They don't care. They don't. They'll take a piss in aisle six if they want to. They don't care. What are you going to do, arrest me? Then you better arrest everybody because we're all pissing in the aisles. I mean, Walmart's a fine place. I mean, they do very, very well. But at the same time, their clientele, let's face it. Now, you could be one of those people, but I don't think you are because you listen to my show. So I don't think you are. Yeah, maybe you go to Walmart, you know, because you want to get something inexpensively that you could get somewhere else. Same thing, just a lower price. Walmart, why not go there? But I don't think you dress like that. No. And the funny thing is, at Walmart, they actually sell clothes. And people buy the clothes, but apparently they never wear them. That or they're scared to wear them in Walmart. I was returning something to Walmart about a week ago. It's tough because their return line is usually about 5 miles long. You get there at 10 o'clock in the morning. By 4:30, you'll get to the front of the line and you can return anything at that point. I returned a family member a couple of years ago and they took him, you know, and they gave me my money back. It's pretty cool. Made a lot of money on that one. Now, at Walmart, I can't. I don't even understand what their logo is. What is that, a flower? What is that thing, an asterisk point? What the hell is that thing? What kind of logo is that? Your logo should be pajama pants. That's what your logo should be, Walmart. But they're all over the world. They're all over the country, certainly. A friend of mine, Tori, traveled the South a couple of years ago, and she was amazed. She would walk into a Walmart in South Carolina, and when she was inside the Walmart, she literally thought she was back home again in the Northeast. They all look exactly alike inside. So do the employees. You can walk up to any employee and say, Debbie, and she'll turn around and say, yes, it'll be her at every single store. Everything at every Walmart is exactly the same. It doesn't matter. It's amazing how they do that. It's done with mirrors and smoke. Yeah, I've purchased things from Walmart before, but I'll only purchase things from Walmart if I know I will never return them ever. Like gum. I buy gum from Walmart because I'm never going to return gum. I've never opened up a pack of gum and said, I'm not happy with it. I'm just not happy with this pack. It loses its taste too quickly, I'm returning it. No one returns gum. So that's a safe item to buy at Walmart. But anything you may return, don't bother. It's not worth the hassle. It's not. Just not worth the hassle. So they sell clothes at Walmart. Nobody wears them. They just continue to wear their pajama pants. The only thing people wear when they buy at Walmart is sports team T-shirts. If it says Patriots or Jets or Dallas Cowboys, they'll wear that everywhere. But other than that, they won't wear those clothes whatsoever. No. Another thing that Walmart is good for is socks and underpants. Socks and underpants. That's it. For guys, that's all. That's all there is. Socks and underpants. I don't want any woman to ever say again, I don't know what to get my guy for a gift. Just pick up socks and underpants and be done with it. Because it's one item or one of the few items that a man will never buy for himself. He will wear underpants until there's no fabric left, just an elastic band. He will still wear the elastic band. He will never go out and buy himself underpants, ever, 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 ever. You must do it for him. And of course, I'm talking to women at this point. And men, what do you get a woman for their gift? Nothing. Nothing. You get them nothing. You get them a card. And you sign it, and that's about it. Because women will buy everything they want for themselves by themselves anyway. They're always walking around saying, oh, you should get me this gift. This is what I really want. They're dropping hints, but don't bother. They're going to get it for themselves anyway, or find some poor schmuck who will get it for them. Don't let that schmuck be you. Don't fall into their web of deceit. Just a card. A card is all you need. It says everything, and you didn't even say it. You just sign your name. What could be a better gift? Something. And sign your name to something. Put it in an envelope and give it to them. You don't even have to mail it. Just give it to them. Save yourself the postage, my God. Just give them the damn card and sign your name and be done with it. People make life so complicated and confusing. It's so simple. Pajama pants, greeting card, we're done. It's not a big deal. I don't know what your problem is. We obsess over the smallest, most ridiculous things. How trivial, how stupid are most, like, how am I going to put a roof over my head? I can't afford the rent. I mean, seriously, is that what's bothering you? Come on, get over it. What am I going to eat for dinner? I don't have enough money for food. Seriously, you're going to waste your time on that? I mean, come on. It's more important things. I've got an appointment with fate coming up in 2 weeks. I have my eye doctor appointment. I don't like the eye doctor appointment. It's a problem for me. I don't like to show up at medical exams and fail or not do well at them. If I don't have perfect eyesight, why the hell should I go to an optometrist or an eye doctor, as we call it? Why would I bother? If I'm wearing glasses and I can't see, haven't we already just taken care of that problem? Why do I need to go sit in a chair? You asked me to read an eye chart. I can't see the letters. Now you're just shaming me. I don't need that. I can do that at home. Why do you seat me in a chair and then make fun of me? Can you read the first line? I can barely make it out. Wow, your eyesight sucks. That's what they say to me. Actually, my eyesight isn't that bad. It's on the way, but it's not that bad, and I don't need some eye doctor to tell me that. Anytime an eye doctor looks at you and says the following word, you're in trouble. Wow, that's not good. When they say, wow, that's not good. Also, notice an eye doctor always has an assistant with him or her writing down all the technical stuff, and you have no idea what they're saying. I have a very nice eye doctor. It's a female, very attractive woman, by the way. Wish I could see her because of my eyesight were better. She'd be that much more attractive. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe that's my goal. Ron, we want to make you see better so you can look at me. So she's standing there, and she's looking at my eyes and blowing air into my eyes and all this kind of stuff. She's doing weird stuff with my eyes. I think sexually assaulting me with her eyes, with my eyes. And she's talking to her assistant, and the assistant's writing stuff down, and she's going, optimal legacy 5.0 with a stigma of lettuce and mayonnaise on the side. And we got a 6.7 on the optimal. And the KGD is a 6.2. The BF Doe is a D Babu. The 6.7 is a 2.3. Rattling all this, I have no idea what that means. am I dying? I mean, what is that? What are you saying? And I never, you know, if you ask those questions, you seem really stupid. Like, excuse me, eye doctor lady, what is a BFO and I have a 3.2? And I don't want her to look at me and say, you don't know what that is? Wow, are you stupid? I mean, and I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't need that, okay? I don't need that. She puts drops in my eyes, and everything's blurry, and I can't see. And then she tests my eyes, and I'm thinking, I don't want to say anything here, but why would you put drops in my eyes to the point where I can't see anything, and then test my eyes? What are you doing? She says, well, I'm dilating your pupils. Well, okay, dilate away, but don't tell me that my, why are you impairing my sight? I don't get it. Eyes freak me out. They just freak me out. The eye thing. I don't get it. They're just freaky. They're little gelatinous little things that are in our face, and they're so important and yet so sensitive and so vulnerable. My eye doctor says, you know, your vision is decreasing over the years. Is there a reason that do you have an occupation where you use your eyes a lot? Yeah. I look at things. I mean, like, do I use my eyes a lot? I think I use them every day, all the time, unless I'm sleeping. Do I use my eyes a lot? No, sometimes I'll walk down the street with my eyes closed just to give them a little rest. Am I overusing my eyes? Do I use my eyes a lot? What are you talking about? Now, actually, to be honest with you, I used one eye more than the other. Similar to using one hand more than the other, if you know what I mean. For many years, I was a videographer, a professional one, which means I made money. And yeah, one eye was in the camera all the time. And she said, well, that could have been a problem. And I said, oh, okay, whatever. Do I use my eyes all the time? What are you talking about? I don't know. Doctors are very judgmental, and most of it isn't my fault. They're the ones that invite me over to their house. I don't call a doctor up and say, excuse me, can you come over to my house and examine me? They don't do that anymore. I don't call them up and say, excuse me, can I get an appointment with you for my annual checkup? I don't do that. They call me. They call me on the phone. They say, is this Ron Van Dam? I say, yes. They say, well, we haven't gotten money from you recently. Well, do I owe money on an invoice? No. It's just we're trying to put our kids through college, and unless you come here once or twice a year, how the hell are we supposed to do that? Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, so come on over to our offices, sit down in a chair, and we'll insult you and tell you everything that you're not doing properly. Oh, okay. Didn't know that was an option. Seriously? So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know what to tell you. There's no answer to any of this. Happy New Year, by the way. If you're listening to the show, I guess you made it through pretty good. Got to be really careful these days. People drive, like, really poorly. Got to be very careful. Very, very, very careful.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
I am joined by Dr. David Katz. We're going to talk about healthy eating habits for the new year. Dr. Katz has spent most of his career helping us eat healthy for both adults and children, proper diets, that kind of thing. Good morning, Dr. Katz.
That kind of thing, Ron. Good morning.
Well, that kind of thing, an emphasis on that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What part of the country are you out of?
I live in Connecticut, but I'm coming to you today from a studio in New York, in Manhattan.
Excellent. You could have stayed in Connecticut. You would have been closer to Boston, which is where we are. So that's cool.
Yep.
All right. So, I don't know anybody who doesn't make health and eating properly a part of their New Year's resolution. And the only people that don't are vegetarians who look like I could beat them up anyway. So, I mean, but everybody's got this little pot in their stomach, and even women have that thing. And if they don't have it, they claim they do. So it's like universal, isn't it?
Well, it is, and nearly so anyway, Ron, and with good reason, frankly. Eating food that tastes good is fun. It's the path of least resistance. You know, what's really abnormal is the modern world we live in, where we've got highly palatable food and great variety available all the time everywhere we go. And that's unusual. And, you know, frankly, the food industry told us what they were up to when they said that you can't eat just one.
Yeah.
They were designing foods that maximize the calories it takes to feel full.
Yeah.
And that leads directly, Ron, to one of the simple strategies that people can use to fight back. Because, you know, I think everybody wants to enjoy their food, but people want to enjoy what they see in the mirror, and they want to enjoy good health as well.
Yeah.
And I think one of the words that probably didn't show up in too many New Year's resolutions was satiety. But it turns out that satiety is one of the most powerful allies you've got when it comes to eating better. And satiety is the property of a food, basically. It's satiating if it helps you get full, stay full. And really good quality foods improve your health by giving you good nutrients, but they also are satiating. They fill you up. We've done studies in my lab using walnuts, which are a highly nutritious food, and kind bars, which are a highly nutritious snack bar made from nuts and fruits. And we found that these snacks have the exact opposite effect of snacking in general. They actually help control calorie intake. We've seen evidence of benefit with regard to weight and body fat and even some cardiac risk measures. This is really powerful because it's an easy thing to do. Just choose some highly nutritious, really tasty, but satiating foods as part of your daily routine. And then you can control calories. You don't have to count them, but you can make your calories count.
Okay, let me ask you a few things, because I'm very conscious now about, as I get older, I'm very conscious about sugar and sodium. And those bars are excellent, because you open it up and you eat it and there's no more and you're done and it takes care of it. But are they a little high in sugar?
Well, most of the sugar in kind bars comes from food, and even my colleagues who've been most adamant about avoiding an excess of sugar, like, for example, Dr. Rob Lustig, who's written extensively about it, they have no concerns about the sugar naturally occurring in food.
Okay.
You know, really, Aesop told us an awfully long time ago, you are judged by the company you keep, and that's really true of sugar in food as well.
Okay.
So the sugar that occurs in food is in the context of fiber, which has a number of effects, Ron. I mean, for one thing, it helps fill you up, but for another, it actually slows the delivery of that sugar to your bloodstream.
Okay.
And then, of course, fruit is loaded with valuable nutrients, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants.
Right.
So, you know, an excess of added sugar to processed foods, definitely a concern.
Right.
Excess consumption of things like soda, definitely a concern. But if you're getting your sugar from fruit, you're fine.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I find, I mean, I love to eat and all different kinds of foods, but I'll find that I continue to get a second helping, or I'll snack while I'm watching TV because I want something to do. The activity of watching or doing is not enough. I must be eating a little bit. So even though I'm full, I may keep eating. So what do I do about things like that?
Well, actually, it's a great question. But, you know, TV can be a problem because eating in front of it tends to be a bit mindless.
Yeah.
You know, we're distracted by TV and we just, you know, we have it in front of us. Well, so a few simple strategies. First, Ryan, you only want to have the wholesome versions of all the foods you like in your house. So, you know, if you like a snack bar, have the best one in your house. Mm-hmm. Have fruits and vegetables in your house. Have maybe cereal that's really nutritious mm-hmm. that you can snack on. But don't have junk food, you know, stuff of the bet you can't eat just one variety.
Yeah.
Don't have that in your house to eat in front of TV. And it, what tends to happen, actually, this is really powerful. I call it taste bud rehab. Mm-hmm. But when you make more nutritious foods part of your daily routine, little by little, you actually come to prefer more nutritious foods. It happens pretty fast. I mean, over a span of just weeks, you will prefer food with less added sugar, less added salt. And then if you're eating foods that are really good for you, are loaded with nutrients and help fill you up and keep you full, even when you do snack, you'll tend not to overeat. You know, just the whole shift will be wholesome.
Okay.
So you can eat in front of the TV, but you'll be eating better stuff. It'll fill you up on fewer calories, keep you full.
Yeah.
So there are strategies you can use that in essence, let you have that cake and eat it too.
Like, what if you just crave a slice of pizza and, you know, it's going to be more than one slice? Is that okay on a limited basis?
Well, you know, there is a balance to strike. Not everything that feels good in the short term is a good idea. And I think you probably, you know, want to apply some thought to food choices. When is this?
Okay.
You know, do I really need this? Do I really want it? What's the trade-off here?
But
I think the easy strategy, Ron, so, you know, that in essence, that's the hard part. Maybe this would feel good, but it's not a great idea. I want to think more about treating my health a bit like wealth and invest in myself, right? So I'm not gonna spend all my money today. I'm gonna put some aside, right? That kind of thing.
So the
healthy choice can become natural to you as you get used to it.
I got it. So maybe you want it, but it's kind of like being married and having an affair. Not a good idea, although quite tempting.
Well, yeah.
I'm not talking about myself.
I'm saying. Okay,
general,
of course you're not.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the example I often use is drugs that are dangerous. Cocaine apparently feels good when you use it at first, but it destroys your health over time.
Good point.
You don't want food to do that to you.
All right.
So you want to strike a balance, I think, between the pleasure you get from eating the food you want when you want them, but also deriving the pleasure we all get from being healthy and vital. I mean, frankly, healthy people have more fun. The reason to be healthy, Ron, is not because a doctor like me wags a finger and says you should. The reason to protect your health by making good food choices and loving food that loves you back is because healthy people have more fun, and that's the point. We all want to live the lives we want to live, and sick people tend not to be able to do that. In our society, we have epidemic diabetes and heart disease and cancer and stroke and dementia. And you know, Ron, 80% of that, 80% is preventable by using lifestyle as medicine, by eating well, choosing wholesome foods, filling up on high-quality calories. You know, it adds years to life and life to years. Who wouldn't want that?
I know. It's just interesting. I mean, we all know what the proper choices are, especially after reading your books and such. But it's like we're doing battle with the food industry. Like, they're the enemy.
Right. In many cases, they are. And, of course, that, you know, that needs to change.
Yeah.
But then that's why I love to, you know, to work with a company like Kind, where it's just the opposite. I mean, this is a company that's virtuous. They make a great product.
Yeah.
It's really nutritious. They're really tasty, their products.
Okay.
You can find them almost everywhere. They're packaged and convenient. So there are lots of companies that are trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
What we need to do as consumers is ally ourselves with the companies that are helping us to love food that loves us back.
Sure.
And then, frankly, little by little, the other companies will change because, you know, they're going to stop selling it if we stop
buying.
That's it.
Right? That's how it works.
The ultimate power really resides with us
You're
as a
absolutely
consumer
right.
to make our choices.
What is the Kind website?
I think it's kindhealthysnacks.com,
okay.
but
okay.
if you Google Kind, you'll find them. And
for
more information about, you know, my opinion about Kind and healthy eating and lifestyle as medicine, my website is davidkatzmd.com. And actually, a little voice in my ear just said it's kindsnacks.com.
Okay, very, very good. All right, you'll find Dr. Katz all over the place, written many books. Pick up a couple of them and get yourself on the right track. That's your New Year's resolution for 2015. Thank you, Dr. Katz.
I like it.
Take care.
My pleasure, Ron. Be well.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. I learn as much as you learn, probably less. So that's great. Well, if you'll excuse me, I have to leave pretty soon. I've got to return merchandise that I got for Christmas. Actually, I'm returning merchandise that I got other people for Christmas, and they opened the gift and said, this isn't going to fit me. And I'm returning all of those things. I should have listened to my own advice. Just a greeting card, sign your name, get out of town before they open it. That's really a very simple thing to do. I will say hello to my eye doctor for you, by the way. She'll be happy to hear from you. She kind of would like you to book an appointment with her so she can put her kids through college. I mean, this is what they do for a living, so we've got to honor that. In the meantime, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm trying to stick to my New Year's resolutions. I did make a few. I didn't say them out loud because it's embarrassing. But I'll be honest with you. I do have two of them. They're the same two that I have every single year. Move my body more frequently. I mean, not bowel-wise. I mean, exercise-wise, you know. A body in motion is a healthy body. I made that up. I don't know if that's true. I think I'm paraphrasing. I need to exercise, and I need to eat differently, and to change my lifestyle. And the other thing I'm going to try to do more this year is to smile more, to be more affable, to be a pleasant person that other people want to be around. Eugh. God. I've been told that I don't smile enough. I complain about everything. Well, I don't know why they say that. So I've got to be more pleasant. Oh, God. I don't have to be, but I should be. All the experts say that if you're happy, then you live longer. I do want to live longer, but I'm kind of enjoying it being grumpy. I'm kind of having a good time doing that. It's also, I do this show, I can't be happy. People won't listen to me if I'm happy. What, you don't need that. What do you want to listen to a happy person for? You want to listen to a grudging old fart, don't you? All the stuff that doesn't make sense, that rattles you, don't you want to hear somebody else talk about that rather than yourself? Or so you can sit back and go, yeah, yeah, hey, Ron, I feel the same way. At my expense, I know. But no, one of the resolutions is to be more pleasant. Oh, God. Now I have to read books to figure out how to do that. Because that's not part of my nature. I was never pleasant. I was the kind of person where if I'm walking down the street, you can notice people coming in my direction actually crossing the street to get to the other side. I'm very tall. I have a beard, so therefore I'm untrustworthy. And I don't smile a lot. And people always assume that rather than say hello, I would rather beat the shit out of you. And in some cases, that's an accurate assessment. But in most, they're not. My heart is very golden. It's very open, very loving, as you can tell. So I need to exercise that. I need to exercise my love, and to be proud of myself when I look in the mirror, to say, okay, that's acceptable. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking to look in the mirror and go, ooh, that's a pretty thing in the mirror. Who is that? Why, it's me. I don't need to do that. I just need some general baseline acceptance. Get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say, eh, good enough. Good enough. Good enough. Now, let's get those pajama pants on and go down to Walmart and have a good time. Buy some gum. I want to do that sometime, but I don't have the balls just yet. Maybe next week. I want to buy a pack of gum, and then I want to go back the next day to Walmart and the person behind the counter will say, yes, you're here to return something? Yes, this pack of gum, this single pack of gum that I bought for 98 cents, I'm not happy with it. I want my money back. Ooh, this is a new one. I wish you peace.